This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Let's look at his epistle, or the letter to James, chapter number 4, the letter or the epistle, James. James wrote this to the churches. He said to those that are scattered abroad, to those Jews that are scattered abroad. He wrote it to us to let us know that it's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. There's some reasons that it's going to be all right. We're going to, and he dealt with some things that we need to look at. Amen. Yeah, James chapter 4 is a interesting chapter. It's an interesting book. But when you have that, I want you to say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. James chapter 4, we're going to parade and peruse the periphery of about 11 verses. How about that? I'm reading it all because I don't know what all I'm going to say here, but it's going to be something I read. Amen? Amen. Verse 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, and yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judge his brother, speak evil of the law and judge the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Amen. 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 I want to use for a thought and a topic, a title, God's divine favor. Amen. He gives us divine favor. And in this day and time, we need to understand his favor comes not because we've been good and not because we know exactly what to do, but because he is good. Amen. And his mercies endure forever. Amen. And when we understand that, then we won't end up in some of the positions that we end up in. Amen. But when we look at the gospel, I mean, the letter or epistle according to James, what he wrote, we find out that James also, he was a brother of Jesus Christ, but he wanted us to know that he was a servant of God first. And, James wrote some things that I believe is necessary for our hearing, because one of the things that James talked about, even in the next chapter, he talked about faith. He talked about how that if we don't have faith, he said that it will be impossible for us to receive anything from God. Amen. He said if we become double-minded, Amen. Not having our minds on the things of God, but having our minds on the things of the world or our own selfishness. He said that we cannot think to receive anything from God. And I know a lot of times we ask God for stuff and we want things from God, but we can't get those things from God until our minds are single and not double. Because he said that a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. So we need to make up our minds today on how we're going to be and what we're going to be. Amen. 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 We can't be wavering. He tells us not to waver in our faith. And so I want you to know today that we got to stop wavering in our faith. In other words, like a wave of the sea. You're up one day and you're down the next. Amen. Amen. Then sometime you just washed up. Amen. You're just done. Amen. You come in, then you what? Go out. Amen. Amen. Don't be like a wave of the sea. But James has some things that he wanted us to understand. And so James talks about to the brethren, to those who are born of the same womb, those who are born of the Spirit. He says in this chapter, he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He says, come they not hence. Even from your lust and the wars that are in your members. So James starts to talk about to them about some issues that they might have. I know we don't have issues, do we? If you say you don't, come on up here now. And we'll just stop service and we'll pray for the lion spirit. Amen. Because we all have some issues. You may not have them as often as some other people, but you have them. Amen. Amen. But God gives us grace, and we are all saved by this grace, right? But and we need to learn today that there's an extra special divine favor that God gives us, even though we might have issues. Amen. God's divine favor is given us. It's an excellence that's put upon us, and he's given us as just like he gave divine favor to Abraham. It's not that he didn't love everybody else, but he gave an extra dose of grace. Just like he gave his divine favor to David. It wasn't that he didn't love Saul or he didn't love David's brothers, but he had an extra special grace for them to achieve some things in life. And God has given us a divine favor. But if we're fighting among each other, we won't recognize that God gives it as he will and that he's a sovereign God and he can do what he want to do. Amen. Amen. And so we got to understand, just as Joseph got the divine favor, that we have a divine favor that he gives us. Amen. Amen. Notice what he said. He says, where come these fightings among us? How did this stuff come out among us? It is because we have a war going on inside of us. Paul said this. He said that when I think to do good, evil is present. I found another law that when I think to do good, evil is present in my members. And so when we start to try to do the right thing, there's a war on the inside of us that keeps us doing the wrong thing. It won't let us think right about other folks. Amen. It will not let us think that they have good intentions. We always suspicious. Because a lot of times, I tell people this all the time, when somebody judge whether or not you got some bad intentions, because they really got bad ones anyway. They know how they would be in that situation. They knew they would take advantage of the situation, so they're judging you based off themselves because they really don't know you. Preach. And so he says that where do this stuff come from? And I'm gonna use all of this as my, you know, I'm gonna get to the point. I'll stay with me. He said, where do all this stuff come from? It is because it's in our members. We, without trying to remember how to be this way, we still have this way in us. And so we have to mortify, as the Sunday school lesson went this morning, we got to kill some of that stuff. Amen? We got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We got to make sure we kill that stuff when it arises. We got to put it down. It's just like a rebellion. If a rebellion happened in a country, what happens? The government forces go to destroy and to put that rebellion down. We need the government of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the ambassador of God on the inside of me to go and put those things down that rises up in me. Too many times we fight. Too many times we fight against God, not knowing that we're trying to fight against God. Let me show you, okay? He says, ye lust and have not. In other words, the word lust there is the word desire. You desire things and you have not. I don't have time to really break it down into the Greek in which I studied it, but I'm just going to tell you it means desire right now. It means a burning, yearning desire. He said, you lust, you have a desire, and you still don't have what you desire. He said, you still don't have it. He said, you kill. In other words, you slay. And you still have not obtained. You put in work trying to obtain stuff, and you work hard, and you even destroy things in your way in order to get your way, but you still ain't got it. So what's wrong with us? If we do all of this, and we still don't have it, go on and show you. He says, and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, and yet you have not because you ask not, because we think we can do it ourselves. Amen. Lord, don't move the mountain. Give me the strength to climb. You know, we say that all the time. Yeah, I can just do it myself. I don't need nobody. You need Jesus. Yeah. He said in the John chapter number 15, he tells us that without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You can't do anything without God. But he says, you fight and you war. We war with people. We war with situations. We fight with situations, but we still don't have the victory. Amen. Amen. Because we're yet doing these things, and we're not learning that we have to be prayerful in all things. We have to be prayerful whenever we go through the situations that we go through, because the first instinct most of the time is to get on the defense. The second thing is to make a plan for myself to be able to preserve myself and to go into self-preservation mode so things won't happen to me and destroy me, instead of me just saying, Lord, whatever your will is. Oh, how many of us can really say, Lord, whatever your will? See, God has some things in store for you, but we don't want to get to those things because we got to go through some stuff. If Joseph would have known that he was going to be put in a pit and sold into slavery and spend time in prison, you think that he would have went telling them about his dream? No, because he would have said, I don't want to go through no jail time. I don't want to have to be put in a pit. I don't ever want to have to be in prison. I wish I had somebody. I don't want to be lied on. If he would have known that, but God didn't show him that part. He just showed him that one day, everybody's going to bow to your brothers, your daddy. Everybody's going to bow. And he told his brothers that part, and they got mad. But if God would have showed him the other stuff, he wouldn't have talked about the dream. You see, and God won't show you the other stuff either. Oh, it's the things in between that God won't show you, because he know you're faint at him. He know that you won't talk about him. He know that you won't let it come out your mouth. He know that you'll step back and you'll say, I ain't going that way. I'm going another way. Because we start to rebuke the will of God. Who are we to rebuke the will of God? Who are we to say, God, no, that can't happen, when God say, I'm allowing it to happen because it's my will. You don't have to say, man, it's truth. It's my will. And sometimes his will is hard, it's difficult. But guess what? It's okay. Because the safest place in the whole world is in the will of God. Are y'all with me today? He says you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. He says the reason why he said when you do ask, he said, first you don't ask because you try to do it yourself. And when you realize it's too hard for you and you can't do it, then you ask. And then he says, when you ask with the wrong motive. Because the reason you want it is so you can just splurge it on yourself. You can spend it on your lust. You can use it on your desire so that you can just have more, do more, be known, or whatever the case, have a position. You want it for selfish reasons. But when you want it for the will of God, Joseph said this, and I keep going back to him because he had divine favor. Joseph said this. He said, it was God's will that I go through that so I can preserve the people. The people. The kingdom, the people, the word of God, the things that God is concerned about. But we are too concerned about our things. I know we want to have stuff. I know we're glad that if we get something, it's a blessing. And then thank God for the stuff that you get. But when we just want it so we can say that we got it, and it doesn't glorify God, it doesn't show that you're an example of a person who is a praying person, a person who's living after God's rule and order, and it's not something, you know, if you just want it, just to want it. He said that that's, God sees your heart. When you ask for it, you want the advantage over people. Why? So you can have the advantage. Huh? We got to get to the point that I don't want the advantage over people. I just want to be successful so I can help others.
Amen.
Be successful. Y'all with me today?
Yeah.
Maybe I got the wrong crowd. He said, but you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motive. And because God knows your heart, you can't fool him. You want this so you can be comfortable. You want things to get better so that you don't have to go through anything. You want it to be just hunky-dory. You want it to be good and glad, and you never have no sorrow, no tears. You want just to be right. And that's why you pray for it. That's why he said you don't even know how to pray. Romans chapter 8. He says, so the Spirit of God making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Because you're not going to pray that it happens. You're not going to pray, Lord, whatever it is I got to go through to get there, let me go through it. Because you didn't know you were going to have to go through hell. But if you are Christ, if you are born again, if you are Christian, you can go through hell and bring others out of hell when you come out. I'm trying to tell you, because if you're the example, if Jesus Christ, you are Christian means that you're Christ-like, you're the anointed also. If Jesus with his anointed self went to hell and he took captivity captive and brought the souls that were in Sheol, in the place of the dead, that were the righteous dead, that were bound up in that section of hell, he brought them out. And if he went and came out, you can go. I'm talking about a life, whatever you go through in life, your hell. When you go through, you can come out. Amen.
Amen.
We need to know that I've been through some hell. You don't need, I'm in hell right now. Okay, yeah, but I'm coming out.
Amen.
Because there's a set time for me to be here. Jesus knew that he had a time. Because he said in 3 days. Y'all don't want to hear that. He said in 3 days, I'm coming out of the. And that is a set time for your trouble. It's a set time for your trials. Those trials are only but for a season, only but for a moment. So when you go through them, I just need to know that I'm going to come out of this. David said, yea, though I walk through. Didn't say I'm staying in. But I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear evil because he's with me. He's with you when you go through your hell. He's with you when you go through your trial and your tribulation. So just pray his will. Y'all gonna make me labor? Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, I know we thinking about people who cheating on their spouse. It's not a natural spouse that he's talking about here. When he says you adulterers and adulteresses, he's talking about people who the church who are married to Christ.
Yeah.
And you're married to Christ, but you're cheating on him with somebody else.
Yeah.
You're cheating on Jesus. With your TV shows, preach. Cheating on Jesus with your money. Because you love that more than you love him. Cheating on Jesus with other folks because they're more important than you giving your time to God. I can go on and on and on about what we're cheating. And whatever your stuff is that you're cheating with, you need to cut it off. Amen. You know, when you start spending time with other things when you're supposed to be spending time with God, that's a cheat. Y'all hear me? I'm supposed to spend time with God at a certain time, and I decide I don't want to spend time with God, but I want to spend it with something else. This is your date, Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m. This is your date with God.
Yes.
But you decide you want to do something else. Preach. It's all right. I ain't scared and I ain't mad. I'm just going to give you what he got. Here it is on Thursday. Better yet, on prayer night, women's prayer. Huh? It's a time, an appointment with God. But then we decide we got other things that's more important. More important than God. Y'all with me? You don't have to be me and the Lord. We got this. I'm saying what he say. Adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? In other words, our fellowship, our friendship with the world, things that we do in the world, it brings us to rebellion with God. And God is not going to put up with rebellion in, you won't put up with it in your house. You won't put up with it, so you think he going to put up with it? Okay, let me, y'all getting tired on me. I'm going to try to get to it. Just give me a few minutes. He says, a friend of the world, you'll be an enemy to God. I don't want to be God's enemy. What this means is that God looks at me in contempt. I need him to look at me in compassion. I don't want him to look at me in contempt because of my actions and my attitude. Some of us need to get the right attitude. Amen. When it comes to the things of God. Y'all not getting too tired on me here. He says, in verse 5, do you think that the scripture said in vain the spirit dwelleth in us to lust, to envy? He said the scripture is not vain. The scripture has meaning. Yes. Scripture has meaning. Yes. And we got to understand that nothing God says is vain. Yes. Huh? He says the spirit that dwelleth in us lusted to envy. The spirit that dwelleth in us, that's the human spirit. All right? And so we got something in us that's fighting against what's right. So we have to retrain. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right? Why? Because we need to know what's good and pleasant and perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. I need to know that so I can follow after God's will. Let me hurry to it. Amen. To the middle of this. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from. The first thing we understand here is that we got a divine factor. We have a divine factor, and this divine factor is God. He gives us divine what? Favor. Favor is an element or a component that when you submit to God, he gives it to you. Amen? When we submit and are surrendered to God, he says that he gives us what? More grace. He gives us more grace. Now, when we look at the word more, that means a greater. It means a larger. It means a stronger grace. Now, he gives us grace to be saved. The word grace is the word charis in the Greek, and it's a gift that he gives to us. It's not something that you can obtain by your attitude or your goodness or how good or how much better you are than the next person, but this is something that he gives as a gift, amen? And he says that he gives us more of it. He gives us a good dose of it, more of what we have and what we need, because we learn how to submit to God, because he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The word resist is not an ordinary word there. I want you to understand, the word resist means that God actually fights against you. God actually pushes you away. God actually, oh, I wish I had somebody in here. When you're proud, God actually said, get out of my face. I don't want you in, oh, I wish I had somebody. You can't come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy because you're too proud. You know, holier than thou. I know I'm better than this and I ain't like them. And, you know, come on, we're going to get to that. Amen. He says that he give more grace. God gives us a double dose. He gives us a stronger grace when we learn how to submit to him. But when we are proud, he says he resists us. And that don't mean that he just ignores us. No, that means that he fights against us. And you wonder what you're wondering why things are happening, because we build ourselves up in pride. And when we build ourselves up in pride, God fights to chop us down so that he can build us back up and we can be grateful. He knocks us off our high horse. I wish I had somebody. He puts us at a lower estate so that we would realize that it's only by God that we can attain and achieve anything, that I ain't better than nobody else. The same grace that saved me got to save other people too. The same way that he brought me out of my sin, he has to bring others out of there. The same way that I made mistakes and he still loved me, that he's still gonna love other people too. Oh, I wish I had somebody in the house that got to realize that the same God that looked at you when you was a mess got to look at others when they're in a mess. And you can't thumb your nose at nobody, you can't talk about anyone else. You got to understand that the same God has to give you the same grace. He's giving it to me, he's giving it to you. But he says resist the proud. He fight against the proud. Thank God I'm not proud. Now let me tell you something, I got some prideful ways, but I ain't proud. Amen. He says, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives favor to the humble. Favor to the humble. When we start to talk about this favor that God gives us, we got to understand that favor, somebody said, is not fair. The reason why it's not fair is because he gives you what you don't really deserve. If it was fair and it was given to you and measured to you based on how you are to everybody else, or based on how you really act, live, pray, do, then you wouldn't get what you have now. Have mercy. But he gives grace to the submitted. He gives grace to the surrendered. How do I know that? Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And he will what? We have to understand that the devil will flee. Because we're surrendered to God. Amen. Because we are surrendered to God, and when we surrender to God, the devil begins to flee. Why? Because when we submit to his will, he surrounds us like a fence. Jesus be a fence all around. And when we surrender to his will, he begins to be our strong tower. And we can run to it and be saved. He becomes our shield, our buckler. He becomes our garrison around us so that the enemy can't do us no harm. But let me dig into this just a little bit. He says, submit therefore yourselves therefore to God. We need to learn how to submit to God, because when we submit totally to God, and when I say submit to God, that means also that we learn how to submit to one another, because I have God in me. Amen. Preach. Oh, we always say, oh, I'm submitted to God, but we always have a problem with everybody else. You can't have a problem with everybody and say you submitted. Preaching here. Oh, hallelujah. Put your weight on that. Amen. You can't just treat people any kind of way and think that you're submitted to God, because that is not how God treats people. Amen. Jesus treated even the sinners. Jesus treated them differently. Jesus fed them and blessed them. And they wasn't right. And guess what? They wasn't in church either when he did it. Amen. Walls, lights, pews. Amen. But we think sometimes because we pray and because we don't do some of the things we used to, now we're submitted to God. No, when you're submitted, submission really means that I really have to give up something. And sometimes you have to give up your rights to something. Sometimes you have to submit to what you think you're right and you're going to prove your point. Sometimes you got to say, you know what? Okay. You got to just let it be. You can't always be in battle with people. That's not what God wants. You cannot be in battle with folks all the time. We must submit one to another, or else we're not in the will of God. I'm just telling you the truth. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
No.
We have to submit one to another. And if we can't submit one to another, then we are not walking the way. We're not walking the walk. We're not in the will. Because the Bible even says Jesus, even though he was the chosen,